Wednesday, May 25th, 2016. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday and bring you a little different perspective on the world of sports than you are going to get anywhere else. You can download, subscribe, or just listen to the podcast pretty much anywhere the podcasts are hosted. You can go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, somewhere like Podcast Republic. If you are not part of that whole Apple thing. You can also head over to rogueintel.com and listen right there. You know, the Daily Dose is a proud member of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. And while you're there, you might want to check out some of the other podcasts that are there as well. Whether it is Duff, Kerry, and TJ keeping you entertained on the Prime podcast with all the crazy stuff that they have going on every week. Or maybe you want to check out one of the new podcasts on the network. You might want to look at the Remedial Radio podcast, where Lint and Matt talk to some local Australian musicians. You get some good music. You get some pretty interesting stories. Makes for a pretty good show. You might want to check them out. See them and more on the rogueintel.com website. And of course, you can always go check out our website, where we have been known to post an article or two every single week that you are sure to enjoy. We posted one this week that you might want to check out concerning LeBron James. You know, Cleveland Cavaliers having a little bit of late trouble in the playoffs. Looks like they may make a personnel move. You might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and see what we posted this week. That is D-A-L-Y, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. We also do post a link to the podcast every single week. And we are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, you know, we're coming up on a holiday weekend. Memorial Day is on Monday. And as we look back at those who have served our country, we remember some of those things. We bring you a very American episode of the Daily Dose. Yes, it has been a while. You know, we are already 42 games into the Major League Baseball season. Today on the Daily Dose, we are going to be joined by John from the Inland Empire in California. He is our resident baseball expert, and he's going to give us a few reasons, to watch America's used-to-be pastime. We will also talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs. The NBA playoffs suddenly have gotten really interesting. I told you they were a little bit slow to start off. They have suddenly gotten extremely interesting just in the past week or two. And, you know, we may touch a little bit on some NFL news. And as usual, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. And I'm telling you right now, this is a very special edition. Sticking with our kind of American theme, you don't want to miss out on this one. Now, I've told you before, you know, baseball just kind of brings out like the Rip Van Winkle in me. It's kind of slow. It's kind of boring. I know. It's the thinking man's game, and you have to be like a member of the like Mensa Society to truly appreciate the nuance of, you know, a guy whacking a ball with a stick. Well, first off, that eliminates me. Fortunately, our next guest does not, suffer from baseball-induced narcolepsy. And I want to thank John from the Inland Empire out in Southern California for joining us right now to talk a little baseball with us. John, thanks for coming into the Daily Dose again.
Hey, thanks a lot, Clint. I appreciate it. You know, anytime you want to talk some baseball, I'm the guy.
How are things in the land of pollution and broken dreams anyways?
You know, everything's great. You know, we keep the sky a nice shade of gray.
Mm.
You know, the water, nice shade of brown.
I like that.
And it's been pretty consistent lately.
Very nice. You know, the NFL, before we get to baseball, the NFL announced that Atlanta is going to host the 2019 Super Bowl. South Florida is going to host in 2020. And yes, Super Bowl 55 in 2021 is going to be in Los Angeles. How are the locals taking the big news today?
Well, that's pretty good. I mean, they're actually pretty excited about it, considering they like teams not from the area.
Sure.
So the chances are pretty good that they'll have a team here playing in that Super Bowl.
Right, because you know they're not going to be rooting for the Rams, and we also know the Rams aren't going to be getting there, so they should be in pretty good shape either way.
Oh, exactly. I mean, there are a lot of Cowboy fans too, but we all know they're not going to make it. So
right,
you know, they'll have to find another team.
Now, while we do have you here, you know, there, of course, there's been talk maybe the Oakland Raiders could possibly end up in L.A., but now there's that talk, and it's starting to become a little more serious that Las Vegas could be a possible landing spot for the Raiders. Any chance that the Raiders are going to end up in Sin City?
From what's on the internet right now. There's a lot of talk about it, but no clear evidence. I know Goodell came out and talked about it. There's a lot of hearsay going on, but you know, one of the big backers for that is they want to do a soccer stadium. You know, and what I'm hearing is they're going to split the stadium, you know, from season to season, and that's what makes Vegas so lucrative.
Well, and I mean, it's a transient kind of population back there, but. If you could host a Super Bowl, if you could have other events in there, I mean, I know everyone's talk about, you know, the Vegas influence and those influences. Vegas is the most closely watched place, like, on the planet. So I don't worry about that kind of stuff. I worry more about, could you sell it out week to week? Could you keep a consistent fan base in there is what I would worry about.
You know, I think location is going to be key. And I think for Las Vegas, not too far from Oakland, not too far from L.A., I think the fan base would travel. They already have a strong fan base there. So I think definitely you could sell it out.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to keep that in mind. We're going to see if the Raiders end up in Vegas. I think it's a good place. I think it's a good place because we know that, you know, Vegas likes to crush people's dreams, so it might be a good fit. But, okay, we've put off talking about, you know, baseball for a while now. For as, like, big of a sports geek as I am, like I said, baseball, I kind of get bored with it. And to be fair, maybe it's because Denver only has a minor league team. I don't know. Plus, the season is so long. I start to get interested right about the time that baseball ends. Like, right in fall, it's kind of, now football's on, watch that instead. But can you give me just maybe a couple of stories in baseball this year that we should kind of keep an eye on without going into teams or players too much just yet? Are there any stories we should really be keeping an eye on in Major League Baseball this year?
I'll tell you, the dark horses that I like right now, especially in the, the Orioles are on fire. The Red Sox this year, are a great.
Yeah, where did they come from?
They got 50 more runs than any other team in the AL, 50 more doubles, 70 more hits, and they're playing the same amount of games right now. The Red Sox are really fun to watch. They're like this year's Blue Jays, you know.
Right.
When the Blue Jays are not last year's Blue Jays, this year.
Just so solid through the whole lineup.
Last place Blue Jays.
Right. The dead last place Blue Jays. You know, it seems like 20 years ago, the big story, of course, was the home run. Everyone was juicing. Balls were just sailing over the fence, you know, in record numbers. Now we've gone completely the opposite way, and the big story is like, well, we humidor the baseball, and come watch us not hit. Is the pitching? I don't know if it's good pitching. I don't know if I'm seeing good pitching or not.
Pitching this year has been the same. I think strike zones are coming a little more difficult for hitters to know what they are.
Right.
I mean, you can watch the game on your phone and look at the strike zone and be like, wait a minute, this shows it. It's a foot off the plate.
Sure, it fluctuates so much.
You know, this ball is over the middle, but he called it a ball. Strike zones have been tough to come by, consistent strike zones at least, but the guys that work the strike zone, the best, you have them throughout the league, and you see those are the guys that are throwing the no hitters and the one hitters and the shutouts. You know, Kershaw just threw another jam today and yesterday. And that guy's on fire.
He's playing out of his mind. But you know, I watched the big performance. Obviously, everyone was talking about the performance by Max Scherzer, and I looked at that and I gave up six hits. I don't know. Was it that? I don't know that it's that dominating pitching or if we're seeing bad hitting. I can't tell which I'm watching.
The dominating hitting, you know, are all the same teams. I mean, you look at, Boston is just crushing the ball. The Cubs crushing the ball right now.
Yeah.
You know, and other than them, you know, you start to see some teams that really aren't. They don't hit. The Dodgers don't hit. You know, the Rangers barely hit. But then you got a team like the Giants who are slowly creeping into form right now.
Yeah, they are. They're getting better, it seems like.
Man. And you know what? The story that people aren't talking about with them is Kelby Tomlinson.
Yeah.
You know, he's a second baseman.
Right.
That guy is on fire right now. 467 for May. Okay. He's single-handedly bringing that team back into form. They've won 16 of the last 22 in the month of May, and they've only lost one game in the last 12. The Giants, they're back in form. You better watch out.
So you're sitting there, and you got, you know, must-see TV. Who are the teams you're turning on? Like, guys you got to see, team that you're like, I have to see this team there on tonight.
You want to watch teams that hit.
Sure.
You know, plain and simple, you want to watch the Cardinals are hot right now. You want to watch the Cardinals. You want to watch the, the Pirates against the Rockies. That wasn't a bad game, but it's definitely one that you got to have a strong stomach for.
Rockies are cooling down. Way down, as usual.
Well, you guys decided to take the face off of Vogelsong,
Right. We'll just throw the ball directly into his face.
Throwing an 0-2 pitch in the guy's face. But yeah, the Pirates are exciting to watch, man. You got the Cubs are exciting to watch. You got some underdog teams in this year, man. You got Cleveland. You got the Phillies. You got a little bit for everybody right now in baseball.
All right. I'm gonna get some picks from you. And then I want to talk about one other thing. Who's your pick? If you had to put down an MVP in the AL right now, who's your pick?
That's a tough one. I would have to say Sale.
Okay.
Yeah. He's just killing it this year. Killing it. You know, he's single-handedly keeping that team in the ballgame because, really, their hitting is horrible.
Right.
They're horrible.
No Mike Trout? I thought sure we'd get Trout out of either.
Nah, man, you know what? The Angels need to let that poor guy go. You know, they can't keep a good guy captive on that team. That team is horrible.
Right.
They got no pitching. They got very little hitting. They're a terrible team to watch.
All right. NL MVP, who do you got?
NL, man. Well, you know what? Man, you can pick just about anybody on the Cubs, but you know what? Oh, man.
You're trying to avoid that Washington Nationals team, but it looks like they've figured a few things out, doesn't it?
Well, you know, Strasburg is pitching great right now.
Yes.
Scherzer's pitching great. You know, you can give it to any of those guys. Daniel Murphy, I don't know what happened to that guy. You know, the Mets let go of him, and he pretty much took the offense with him. You know,
right.
Now the Mets
right.
can't hit, you know, and he's sitting there crushing the ball over there on the Nationals. I mean, you can very well give it to him. I mean, because he's got 28 RBIs. He's got, I think he only has 19 Ks. I mean, the guy doesn't strike out. The guy
sure.
Hits, you know.
Puts it in play at least.
You could say Murphy. You could definitely say Murphy.
Okay. All right. Let's go through some divisions real quick, and you don't have to. I mean, if you don't got anything off the top of your head, that's fine. But let's take a look at each division just real quick. AL East. Obviously, you know, when we were looking there at least right now. Like you said, Baltimore and Boston seem to be tearing it up. Yankees kind of hovering right there around 500. Who's going to pull away in the AL East?
I really think Boston is. You know, I really think if they could settle down, you know, as far as pitching,
right?
You know, they definitely got the sticks. They're going to be this year's Jays. I mean, everyone in that lineup is hitting. They got like six guys in the top 30. I mean,
well, and it's so interesting lineup, because a year ago we looked at them and said, well, they'll have the bats, but they won't have the pitching. Well, they didn't have the bats either. They didn't have anything. But man, they have come to life this year.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that's changed is Sandoval.
But they've scored 256 runs already.
Honestly, Porcello, Price, right? You know, they have 7 wins, 6 wins. That's all misunderstanding. These guys are all posting the 3.5 ERA or worse. I mean, these guys are not pitching that well. They're just hitting the crap out of the ball. That's
right.
Really what it comes down to.
AL Central. AL Central is kind of a tough one to look at because you know the Royals, I mean, they're sitting, you know, the third back there, but you know they're probably coming. Detroit seems like they're kind of figuring some things out. Who do you like in the Central and the American League?
I honestly like the White Sox. You know, Indians
yeah.
came out hot, but they've lost a lot of games, and they got a tough schedule ahead. I think 20 of the next 26 games are against teams that are in first or second in their division. So they got a tough road ahead. Royals lost 16 games last month. Their pitching is not good. They lost Alex Gordon. He's hurt right now. Moose Moustakas is hurt. They're reeling right now. They're in trouble. I really think that the White Sox are going to win that division.
Okay. Let's stick over and finish out the American League. Mariners started off pretty good. Do we believe what we see, or is this still going to come down to, you know, somebody like the Rangers slipping through?
Well, if the Rangers get Yu Darvish, they could slip in easily because they need pitching.
Yeah.
They need pitching bad. I think they're the last in strikeouts, and they have the third most walks. So that means they're not going to strike you out, and they'll probably end up putting you on first, you know, which is not a good thing, especially playing in that division. Mariners pitching, man, is getting on fire, man. I mean, King Felix, Wade, we call it Carnes, they're all pitching really good.
Yeah, they're not allowing any scoring.
They really only have those two hitters. I mean, you walk those two, and you got a pretty easy through.
All right, let's switch over to the National League. Like we talked about just a minute ago, looks like the East is going to come down probably to the Nationals or the Mets. Who do you like coming out of the East?
Mets pitching is struggling. Mats is actually the ace right now, and Syndergaard, you know, he's pitching great. But the rest of them, Harvey and Cologne, they struggled, man. They struggled a lot. And they don't hit that well.
That's the thing, they haven't had much bats. Yeah,
a lot. And I really think the Nationals got this year. Nationals can actually hit this year.
Yeah, no, that's been a huge difference. They've already almost driven in 200 runs, which has been a huge difference because we knew they had the pitching. They've had the pitching the last 3 years, though, and it hasn't made any difference. They're finally getting some scoring punch in their lineup. Central, Cubs look like the best team possibly in the league. Pirates are lingering. Cardinals are playing well. I don't know who's coming out of the Central. I think it's the Cubs.
The Cubs are playing solid. They lost three straight.
Yeah.
You know, but they lost two of the Giants, you know, and they lost one of the Cards. And the Cards are hot right now. They're hot. So really it comes down to this month. I mean, the Cards can make a play this month and take over the division if they want to. Pirates, their pitching has been solid. Cole's been pitching great. Niasco and Nice, you know, they've been pitching pretty good. But not having Vogelsong in the lineup is going to hurt them. And hitting-wise, I mean, really, they got five solid hitters. You know, they got Harrison and Jasso Mercer, Polanco, who are all, you know, pretty solid. But McCutcheon's struggling right now. If they get put together 1-5, I think they could give them trouble, too.
Okay. We look out west. Obviously, the Giants, I mean, even number years? So, I mean, they're going to win the whole thing, aren't they?
Can we just not look out west? Because really, other than the Giants, there's really nothing else.
But what about the glorious Rockies? This was going to be the year Arenado's going to carry them. They were just, and they started off like, I don't know, 8-5, and then it went worse from there. So no chance on the Rockies. Padres aren't going to do anything.
No, Padres are garbage. Padres, they really don't have anything. I mean, they've gotten lucky taking a few big series, but really, on a day in, day out, they're just one or two series away from a 12-game losing streak. The Rockies, they don't have any pitching.
No, they don't. They never do.
Crap out of the ball. They're hitting the ball really well. But
you know that wears down.
Say again?
You know that'll eventually wear down, and good pitching at some point will beat good hitting, it seems like, when you get into the playoffs or you get into, you know, these crunch runs, and then they have nothing. They won't hit as well on the road, and then we'll see the Rockies drop to about 30 under 500, just like they do every single year.
Oh, I mean, you look at the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers got Kershaw, who's arguably the best pitcher in the league. I mean, the guy is money. They got Maeda, who's solid.
Right.
They don't have any hitting. The Dodgers are the only team that I've seen that don't have anyone in the lineup hitting over 300.
Right.
Not one person.
No, they just don't have anyone. Well, all right. Give me your pick. You got to give me a pick for each side. Who is going to the World Series? And I realize it's not even June yet. Who's going to the World Series right now? Give me your pick.
Oh, I'm going to say Cubs.
All right.
And I'm going to say the Red Sox.
And Red Sox.
Yeah. I really think their pitching is going to settle down. Right now, they're giving up a lot of runs, but they're scoring a ton. And you know what? With baseball, there's one or two big moves away from, you know, from solidifying that that lineup.
Sure. Okay. Do the Cubs finally get it done this year, or do they get their hearts ripped out again?
I mean, they get it done. They're going to get short. They've been playing right now without Schwarber.
Yeah,
who is a big hit in that. Schwarber brings. Okay, if you look it up, since he was called up to the Cubs, he brings two more runs a game.
That's insane.
Just having him in the lineup. You know, the Cubs are plus two runs. And they have been playing without him almost the majority of the season. They get him back in, I think, 30 days. And watch out. That lineup is going to be ridiculous.
Cubs are going to finally break this, like, millennium curse.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. I be honest. You know, growing up here in Denver, obviously we didn't have Major League Baseball. Well, we we don't really have Major League Baseball now. But, you know, we have a ton of Cubs fans here. We have a ton of Cardinals fans here. I always kind of lean more Cardinal way as a kid, but just because we didn't, you know, we didn't have anybody else. But I got to be honest, I'm kind of rooting for the Cubs to get it done this year. I mean, the job that they've done to turn that franchise around and get them to where they are, it's pretty incredible.
Well, they got the guy in the office to do it, you know. He broke the Red Sox record, and now they got him in Chicago. So they got the right man in the right spot.
Yeah, it certainly seems like they do. Well, okay, I got to get to one more thing. While we're on the subject of baseball, I got to get to one more thing. And I know, you know, if you're joining us late, if you're just coming in, John can come in. He can talk baseball far better than I can. He knows the game. He can talk hoops. He can talk football. He can talk a little bit of anything. We'll have him on and talk college sports, whatever. He can do a little bit of everything. That's why we like it. But he's a smart guy that can also look ahead, and that's why I like having him in as well. Here's the question I'm going to pose to you. Here's the thing that I want to pose to you. Average baseball fan, 55-year-old white dude. Baseball participation numbers significantly dropping. They're going down. I know baseball people will tell you, our numbers are higher than they've ever been. Yeah, but they are declining. I realize there's more people on the planet, so your numbers are higher, but they are declining. Last year's World Series viewers under 12 years old, less than 5%. Now, just for comparison's sake, NBA runs about 10%, NHL runs about 9%, I believe Premier League runs about 10%, and then of course the NFL runs about 20%. They're getting from their kids under 12. How do we make baseball more interesting to younger fans? How do we get this? Is it speeding the game up? What is it that we have to do to get younger fans interested in baseball?
Well, the first thing they got to do, okay, and the NFL does a great job with this. You know, they showcase matchups.
Yeah.
You know, and they showcase matchups on regular TV.
Sure.
You know, on a Sunday night or on a Sunday morning, you know, they showcase, you know, Monday Night Football. They have showcases. Major League Baseball has to showcase rivalries, you know, games that got a little bit of extra story behind them. The second thing, scheduling is horrible.
Right.
We talked about this last year. I mean, I got to be up, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning to watch a playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
Playoff game.
Right.
You know.
No, this is postseason ball. How is this not primetime stuff? How are we not blowing this up on every single network that we possibly can and getting... You and I talked about this. There were games starting at 1 p.m. Mountain Time. Who's watching that in the middle of the week?
A 65-year-old retiree?
Exactly. Exactly. No, you're exactly, you know, right.
And these are the prime games. These are playoff games.
Right. These are people, you know, who don't usually tune in. They might tune in now if they could find it.
Yeah, and yeah, if they can find it. And then you got over here with the Dodgers, where you got to basically buy Time Warner, you know, to see a Dodger game.
That's insane.
That's ridiculous.
Well, and I think you and I had talked about this too. And the reason, quite honestly, the reason that we've waited so long to get to our baseball preview this year on the Daily Dose, there was nothing to do about, you know, hey, baseball's starting. Hey, it's opening game. Hey, I barely even knew the games had started. They don't do anything.
Yeah, and you know, as far as participation is concerned, they put such an emphasis on travel ball,
right,
at younger ages now. Now your kid has to specialize in a sport.
See.
At 11 years old, you know.
Yep.
I just don't agree with it, you know, but that's a big deal. You know, so if you look at Little League, you're not seeing half the talent that's out there playing club, you know, because the parents have had the kids specializing.
Sure. No, and that's interesting too, because I know that when I was still coaching basketball, we had a couple kids that were, you know, play, they were baseball players and basketball players, whatever it was. We had a kid tell us that from Memorial Day until Labor Day, so for his summer, the entire summer, including Sundays, including weekends, I think he had 5 days in the summer that he wasn't playing some sort of game or some sort of practice. He had 5 days over the summer. He had 5 days he wasn't doing something with baseball. That we're drowning these kids. We wonder why these kids are blowing their arms out at 22 years old.
Oh, yeah. The majority of these injuries, I think, are from a wear and tear. I mean, you see kids now in high school are blowing their knees out, having shoulder surgeries. You never saw that before.
No.
You know?
Tommy Johns.
My daughter plays softball, and I'll give you an example. You know, she's been playing ball a while. And 2 years ago, we had an entire month, 30 days, we traveled to four different states, okay, and had 6 days off with no softball.
Wow.
6 days off and 30 days. And some days we played 3, 4, 5 games.
It's insane.
I just think it's too much.
It is. It's too much, and it's no wonder that kids are starting to drop off of it. And you know what we're starting to see? As bizarre as this sounds, and when we were kids, this would have been like blasphemy. We are starting to see kids go towards soccer.
Yeah.
Soccer is starting to take over. I would have never thought I'd have saw the day.
Well, we had a girl that was playing softball on my daughter's high school team who was a star soccer player. The softball coach told her, she couldn't play soccer, that she had to train with the softball team all year round.
Sure. it's nuts. We're not doing ourselves any favors with baseball. Okay, I got a couple other things that I want to discuss with you before you get out of here, before you go back to the haze and the heat back in California. But we're going to run over and take a quick break. We will be right back here on the Daily Dose, though.
Hi guys, Cooper here from the Unquote Podcast. Unquote delves into what makes movie quotes so, well, quotable. See, I have a guest each week watch a movie selected from the American Film Institute's Top 100 Movie Quotes list, and then we sit down and ponder cultural impingement and cinematic preponderance, and okay, you got me, my thesaurus was totally open. A little factual and a lot of fun, it's the least contentious peanut gallery in history. Unquote is part of the Rogue Intel Network, and you can find me on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter.
What are you doing listening to Rogue Intel? That podcast is for Slytherin!
Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had a basket case,
and I'm a princess.
And I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com. Think of the tender
things that we were working on. Okay. We've got to talk a little bit of basketball while we have John here. Like I said, this is a guy that can talk a little bit of everything. We've got the NBA playoffs rolling along here, and we have some really, really interesting things happening in the NBA even tonight. You know, we're recording this on Tuesday night. Right now, just a quick kind of update. Oklahoma City is up 10 on the Warriors, about 5 minutes left in the third quarter. That's going to be interesting. I want to talk about that in just a minute. But the big news this week might be the Toronto Raptors somehow scraping together a couple of wins. You know, I've actually heard from some Raptor fans this week because of my top five last week was, you know, reasons not to watch this series, Raptors versus Cavaliers. Here's the thing. You know, I said the series would be unwatchable. That's still true. Like, that's a horrible, awful series to watch. It's nothing that is actually aesthetically pleasing, but now it is closer. Raptors win game 3, and it kind of looked like a fluke, didn't it? Like, I didn't think... I was like, it was one game. They just had a lucky night. Now I'm starting to wonder, what's going on with the Cavaliers and the Raptors here in this series?
Well, you know what? The best comment I've heard about that series to describe that series was, it's fundamentally sour. Yeah, and I hate to say it, but I can't watch it. I still can't watch it.
It's horrible.
I tried to watch it, but it's then bad. I start charging my phone, and I wanted to watch my phone charge.
Well, the bar fills up, and then it goes back down, then it fills back up, and it goes back down. So it is more fun to watch than this horrible, horrible series. I'm having a hard time. I think I texted you last night and said, what is going on in this game? And you're just like, I can't watch it. Let me know, because I can't watch it. Oh, it's bad basketball. But have the Raptors figured something out, or are the Cavaliers sleepwalking? I can't quite tell.
You know what? I don't think anyone's figured anything out. I think these are the exact same two teams that played all year long. OK, Okay, Toronto does not play great defense. They don't. They don't. The Cavs have never played good defense. Good defense. Okay, so really what we're seeing is whoever's going to sink shots, you know. And fortunately, you know, the first two games, the Cavs rebounded. They destroyed the rebound.
Yeah.
You know, but lately, they can't seem to get a rebound.
Well, and here's the no, they can't get a rebound. No, you're exactly right there because the Raptors are finding a way. Here's the thing that kept occurring to me last night as I was watching this. I would flip to it and see the score and flip away. I mean, the Raptors led most of the game. Late, Cleveland makes a run. Here's the thing that stood out to me though. Late in the game, Cavaliers take the lead, and I'm watching this and I'm saying, okay. LeBron James, you're better than Magic, you're better than Bird, you're better than Jordan by about 50% of the experts. You're going to take over and beat this pathetic Raptors team, and he still didn't. At what point does Superman put the cape on? Well, unless the cape isn't really that super.
Certain things you can't hide from LeBron. He's not a good defender. You know, he is a good passer.
Good passer.
Takes a lot of ill-advised shots.
Takes horrible shots. No. Drives me crazy with the shots he takes.
He's looking to draw fouls. Right now, he's going to the hole looking to draw a foul. Not really make a basket, but looking to draw a foul. You know, that's one thing that you wouldn't see Magic or Michael doing. They were making shots.
They were going to finish. How on earth do you find a way to lose that game that they came back, they come storming back, they take the lead, and somehow they find a way to... And he misses a shot going to the basket. I keep hearing he's bigger, stronger, faster. I don't want to hate on LeBron, but my goodness, at some point you've got to sort of live up to the billing, don't you?
You can't put it all on him. Don't forget, you got the tin man, okay, who can't even play a fourth quarter.
Hey, Kevin Love's been horrible.
He is horrible. He is horrible defensively. He's not looking that good offensively.
Remember when he used to be a good rebounder, though? Remember when Kevin Love, we were like, well, you know, when he was up at Minnesota, we were like, no, he's a pretty good rebounder. What did that go?
Injuries. Honestly, I think injuries.
Can he play a game without getting hurt?
Once he started to get hurt, he started to kind of back away from the paint.
I'm trying to remember the last game he played that he didn't get hurt in the game. I don't know if I can come up with it.
You know, UCLA. At UCLA,
Maybe so.
Was it three seasons in UCLA where he wasn't hurt?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's the last time it's happened. I don't know. You know, there's talk that there's going to be a new Space Jam, and LeBron's going to be the star. Is this going to happen?
Yeah, actually, it is. Actually, LeBron is going to do the voice for Steph Curry.
Is that what it's going to be?
Michael Jordan in the new Space Jam, and LeBron's going to do the voice.
I thought maybe LeBron would be the guy, but then when his team started getting beat by the Monstars, he would just switch and join the Monstars.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what they can do is, since LeBron doesn't have a jumper, every time he comes down court and gets ready to shoot, they can put Steph Curry as like a stunt double.
Sure.
I mean, to take the shot for him.
There we go. Okay. All right. We've cleared up. We might not have cleared up much today. We've cleared up some baseball. We've cleared up what they should do with Space Jam, though. At least you got that out of this podcast today. Let's talk a little bit about this Golden State Oklahoma City thing, because Golden State trailing about 10, heading toward the fourth quarter. I'm starting to see some things that I'll be honest, I didn't think I would see from Golden State. They can't play transition defense. Where did that go? That used to be one of their strengths. I don't know. Golden State's in some trouble.
They're showing the legs, okay, of a team that chased the record all season long.
Yep, good point.
You know? And I got to be honest, offensively, okay, they're struggling. They're passing the ball around the perimeter instead of getting down to the lane and kicking out. That was really their thing. They would come down to the lane, draw the double team, kick out to the open guy,
sure,
shoot.
Now they're dribbling too much.
You know, we talked about this too. Klay Thompson is absolutely horrible.
He's
this
been
year.
Bad. Yeah,
horrible.
He's been bad.
You know, since Steph Curry has returned from his injury, really his role has diminished. He's really not. I mean, really not taking the bull by the horns.
Well, and you know, Billy Donovan, and I give Donovan some credit. He's done with Oklahoma City kind of what he did with Florida, where he's made them be a defensive team. They manufacture enough points. But what they do is they force jump shots. They contest them. Every shot is contested. And then they're not giving up many offensive boards. We were used to Golden State getting those long rebounds. Yes, the rebound is still long, but they're not getting them anymore. They're only giving up, you know, 11, 12 offensive boards a game. That's killing Golden State.
You know what? The thing I'm most impressed with Billy Donovan is this is the same team Golden State. I mean that OKC had last year. But look how well he's using the big men.
Yeah.
I mean these guys, these big men are outplaying Draymond Green, you know, and the reigning champs, big men. He's done a great job with them.
You know, it's interesting because the other night, and I don't know how this game's going to finish up tonight. If Golden State loses this and goes down, they would be down 3-1. I think the series would probably be over. But the other night, I was so shocked because Oklahoma City went small. And I said, okay, if Golden State's going to make their run, now's their chance. Not only did they not make their run, Oklahoma City made a bigger run. They're beating them at small ball. That's what Golden State is supposed to do. Donovan's done a great job.
Well, Deion Waiters is playing better than he actually is, I think. You know, he's making a lot of great shots right now, a lot of tough shots. You know, I mean, not only that, but he's getting rebounds. He's playing good defense. I think he's playing better than he actually is right now.
Probably.
And I think if the series goes on, if Golden State can pull out tonight, I think he's a role that you'll see diminished later on in the series.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. What did you think of the Draymond Green flailing, kicking thing? Should he have been suspended for tonight?
No, because you know what? Unlike the punch, the punch was a deliberate action.
Sure.
Okay? Like it was a fist to junk. You know, fist to junk. Like, okay, that's intentional. Now, On the Draymond Green, he was actually fouled in the play, and I think that played a role into it because he was grabbed, he was fouled, and then flailed after the foul.
Right.
Now, granted, his kicks are surgical. I mean, they're pinpoint precise.
Right. You know, he was accurate.
I don't know if Steven Adams has that target, you know, but for some reason, he's been pinpoint precise with his kicks.
I think
can it be interpreted intentional? Yes, but I don't think it could be considered that without knowing what was his intent.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's hard to legislate this stuff with instant replay, slow motion. That's not how the game is played. You can sit there and say, well, if I look here, his eyes went. That's not how the game is played. These guys are playing 100 miles an hour. That just isn't how it works. So, yeah, I was okay with them not suspending him. I thought he, you know, if you want to tee him up, that's fine. I get that, but suspending him would have completely changed the series, and I just, like you said, it's a split second play. I don't know that you can really go in there and say, well, here was his true intention. And I thought the NBA actually did a decent job of kind of sidestepping that. Okay, finally, and I know we've kept you here probably too long, but we haven't had a chance to talk about your Los Angeles Lakers hiring Luke Walton. Are you in favor of this move? Are you against this move? How do you feel about the hiring of Luke Walton in LA?
You know, I'm kind of in the middle. You know, he's shown to be a good coach. Okay, I'm not saying great, but I'm saying good. Now he's trying to surround himself with people that know what they're doing. You know, he went and got Brian Shaw, somebody with a little more experience.
Okay? Sure,
maybe some guys that kind of know the system he wants to run. He can't run Golden State in LA.
No,
not gonna happen.
Don't have the people.
You know? No, he can't run the triangle in LA. So I'm really curious to see what he plans on doing. You know, and a lot of it's going to come to the front office. I mean, is he going to have the players to work with? Because, you know, last year, Roy Hibbert, I mean, come on. I mean,
well, and I mean, Nick Young. And Nick Young's out there wearing Yeezys on the floor. Is this guy, is this really the guy? Is this really the Nick Young is the player? I mean, are you kidding me? You could have went and just found some scrub in the D League and done better than that.
You know, but you know what? Swaggy has fashion. And you know, every NBA right. team needs fashion now.
Apparently. You know? That's what we keep seeing.
You see the fashion wars going on right now in the playoffs, Clint. Come on.
I know. Crop tops and culottes are where it's at right now.
You know what? I'm going to open up a swap meet for boy bands. Okay? And I'm going to sell all those clothing that you see these guys wearing right now.
And you're going to have NBA guys shopping there.
Exactly.
And Cam Newton.
You know, look at holy jeans. Okay, great. Okay, holy skinny jeans. How about skinny on one leg and not skinny on the other? How about that?
Right. Russell Westbrook's coming to your shop. Cam Newton's shopping there too.
Oh yeah. I'll get Draymond in there too, you know? And I'll get Durant, you know. It's on.
Okay, before we let you go, Lakers have the number 2 pick. Ben Simmons or Brandon Ingram? Who are they taking?
Ingram.
They're getting Ingram. Simmons is going to go to Philly.
I look at Ben Simmons, and I see another Dwight Howard, a guy that doesn't really have a shot. You know, is he big? Yes. Is he semi-athletic? Yeah, but not around the perimeter.
Right.
You know, and this is a game where you got to be out and cover guys. You know, and in the 3 years at LSU, has he proven to be a leader? Man,
That's what scares. That would be what scares me, is just the fact that he couldn't take a team like LSU in a conference like the SEC that is not. It's not that it's a super conference in basketball, and he couldn't get them to the tournament. That would scare me a lot with Ben Simmons. I think he's, I don't know. He's a big, strong kid. Good passer, I guess. He's LeBron Jr.
But what player in this first round can you see that would be a franchise changer?
See,
I don't see one.
But see, that's the problem.
It kind of reminds me of the NFL, you know, the NFL draft.
Yeah, it was a down draft for sure this year. That's the problem, though. We have these guys coming out of college, and these teams are sitting there saying, okay, you look at Philly, who's been drafting number one now for the past 3-4 years. They can't get anyone that's going to truly change their franchise. Look at the guys they've taken with Embiid and no
can't even get a guy to play a whole season.
No, these guys aren't physically capable of doing it. These are 19-year-old projects that may or may not eventually, someday, possibly, perhaps, be players. And, hey, come save our franchise. I got news for you. It's not going to happen.
Dude, I mean, these aren't even projects. These are paraplegics. These are guys that come in and can't jump. That come in and they can't shoot.
But they don't know how to play the game.
The guys that they get are unhealthy. I mean, right off the bat.
Right. No, it's bad. They've got to do something about the one and done situation, because it's a mess. It's making a bigger mess. The NBA, just like we're talking about this Cleveland Toronto series. The reason it is bad is because this league is so watered down. We have teams playing in the Final Four that honestly aren't very good.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't pick Toronto to beat Houston to get into the playoffs.
It would be a dogfight for sure. And I mean, Houston was what, the 8?
If it goes to the best of 16 teams, you're going to have 2 teams from the East.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see, and it's going to be interesting to see if the players' union is going to get out of the way and step aside and let them make some of these rule changes that would just make sense and would help kids a little bit. If these guys want to hire an agent, I don't care. As long as they're not taking money from the agent, that's fine. If these guys want to jump to the pros right out of high school, I don't care. But if they go to college, let's keep them in college. Let's help them learn the game. Let's help them get physically capable of playing at the next level. Otherwise, if you want to jump right out of high school, go ahead. That's up to you. But you can declare hardship and do that, and it's probably not going to be an easy thing. What they're doing to a lot of these young kids right now is criminal. They're forcing these guys to. If you don't go after your first year, you're kind of deemed, well, you must not be very good. That's completely unfair to a lot of these players that really do need to stick and develop physically, develop as players, develop all around, and we're kind of doing them an injustice right now.
Well, no, I mean, these kids are coming from playing year-round basketball, okay? Then they go to college, okay? Then they go pro. Then they play summer league, okay? Or they're playing D-League, okay? Or they're playing overseas, you know?
Sure.
Some of these kids just need to get healthy. They need to get right first, physically right, before they can go out there and play.
Yeah, it's going to be an awful lot. And this group coming out right now, just like we just talked about, Simmons, Ingram, neither one of them is truly going to be capable of jumping in and changing a franchise anytime soon. Maybe in 3 or 4 years, maybe, possibly, but it isn't going to be anytime soon. John, as always, have to say thank you so much for joining us here in the Daily Dose, giving us a little bit of a baseball preview, talking some hoops with us. Always good to have you in. You know that you are welcome anytime, but just have to say thanks to you for stopping by the Dose.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and anytime, man, I'm ready for the Dose.
Now, as we do every week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know the Daily Dose Top 5? Always a popular segment here on the show. You never know which way it's going to go. And I'll be honest with you. This week is a prime example of that. With it being Memorial Day, with it being, you know, an American holiday, the great American holiday, we have certain traditions that kind of go with different holidays. And one of the traditions of Memorial Day, at least for me, and kind of, you know, nationwide, has always been the Indianapolis 500. Now, you may hear that today and you wonder why, and I honestly, who could blame you? Because you sit there and say, well, why would that be, you know, any kind of a tradition at all? because Indianapolis 500 is now kind of a faceless dinosaur, hopelessly bypassed by a host of other sports. In fact, Indy is outdated even within its own like genre. I mean, see, here's the thing though. Going back to when I was a kid, the Indy 500 was auto racing's ultimate prize. It was the greatest spectacle in racing. But I'm going to be honest, no one cares about Indy anymore. The Indy 500 has now gotten fat and drug addicted and looks very similar to like strung out Elvis Presley just before he died on the toilet. Now, sure, I may have been a little too young to see like the Louis Myers or the Billy Vukoviches or the Wilbur Shaws. That was long before my time. But I was fortunate enough at least to see the tail end of, and some of the beginning of, but I saw the tail end of the A.J. Foyts, the Bobby and Al Unsers, the Rick Mears. And you might be thinking the Mario Andretti's, but let's be honest, we're talking about Indy here. He doesn't do so well there. But I was able to witness greatness as a kid. I got to see some of those top flight drivers when I was a kid. I don't see that now. Indy doesn't have that same luster now. I see a race that is headed in the same direction as, like, you know, the Edsel or, I don't know, baseball. Let's be honest. Kids don't watch it. Kids don't care. And ultimately, kids aren't going to be going much longer. So today, with all of that in mind, and it's this kind of being, you know, the Great American Podcast, I thought I would take a look at how the Indy 500 could become relevant again. Because I'm telling you right now, the Indy 500 is nearly extinct, whether it knows it or not. Are you going to watch it on Sunday? Do you even know when it is? You might be sitting there saying, is it Sunday? Or is it Saturday? Is it Monday? Is it Tuesday? I don't know when it is. See, you don't care. You don't do that with the Super Bowl. You don't do that even with something like the NBA Finals. You are tuned in to when that is. The Indy 500, I be honest, I don't know when that is. When's the NASCAR? When's the next NASCAR race? That's the only thing you're asking right now. I'm going to give you five ways the Indy 500 can become interesting again. Because right now, it isn't interesting at all. Number five, and this would go a long way. I'll be honest. This would be a great way to make the Indy 500 relevant again. At least when I was a kid. When I was a kid, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, you knew some of the drivers. You knew some of the guys. Number five, can you please give me some drivers that I know? And if I don't know them, then you had better figure out a way to market them so that I do know them. See, you might not realize it. You might not realize it right now, listener, whoever intelligent Daily Dose listener you are right there, but I bet you know four or five NASCAR racers right now. You might not realize it. Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Kurt Busch, Carl Edwards. See, you might have just grabbed one of those names. Oh, yeah, I know that name. And you might not be a race fan at all. You might not be a sports fan at all. But you probably know one of those names right now, don't you? You might not be able to pick them out of a lineup. You might not know who they are or what they've done. But you know the names. Now, name one Indy driver. Name one guy who is starting the Indy 500 this Sunday. And you're going right now, I don't know. Is there an Andretti driving this year? I have no idea either. I have no clue. So here's my advice, Indy 500. Go either hire a marketing firm and start promoting these drivers so that they become a little bit of a household name. Or better yet, go write a blank check to those NASCAR guys and get them to come race in your race. Because if fans don't have a rooting interest, they're not going to watch because they don't care. And right now, no one cares about the Indy 500. Number four. You've got to lower the costs. And I'll be honest, all these kind of work together. In order to even try to run one car at the Indianapolis 500 right now, right around a million dollars. You've got about $650,000 in car costs with fuel, tires, you know, chassis, gears, engines. You got about $150,000 in entry fees. You've got about $20,000 in car fees. You've got about $100,000 in just the off-track expenses, you know, food and board, suits, travel, you know, motorhome parking, all the nonsense that goes with that. You got another $50,000 in cost to do some testing, to go test at the Speedway. And by the way, don't crash, because you just tripled it. If you crash, it's going way up. Do you think that this kind of thing knocks out the truly talented drivers much? Yeah, I'm thinking so. Kids don't grow up wanting to race. Kids don't want to, they especially don't grow up wanting to race at Indy. So they get some of these little geeky nerds that they jam into these cars to drive. Kids that grew up playing water polo, and you know, things like that no one cares about. How do you even get the horse into the pool? I don't know how that works. But bottom line, you've got to lower the cost so that we can actually get some of these good drivers back to Indy. The average solid race car, you can't go race at Indy. Lower the costs. Make this something that you could have real teams doing, that you could have real drivers doing. Number three on our list, get rid of those big fat tires. You narrow those tires and you'll slow down the field a little bit. And I know you want to be able to say that you have those high speeds, but you might actually make for having better drivers. You might actually have to have drivers that fight a car that isn't sticking to the pavement like bubblegum, which is what they do right now. Get rid of the big tires. Number two goes right along with it. Get rid of those wings. On Sunday, here's the thing. On Sunday, and the race is on Sunday, by the way, if you'd like to turn on, it's on Sunday morning. You're going to be able to watch one of these live cams that's showing, you know, the view right inside the car. And it's showing you like the throttle, how much throttle they have. It's going to show you how much brake they're using. It's going to show you what gear they're in. It's going to show you what the driver ate for breakfast. It's going to show you what his breath smells like. Everything that you possibly could imagine. You get the point. But I want you to notice one thing when you see that view. Notice how little these drivers use their brakes. Notice how little they actually have to accelerate and then brake to go into the corner. You got four big monster corners at the 500. Slow these cars down and force the drivers to actually drive. Right now, the car is set up with the wings and the giant tires to hold the car down on the track. I want to see which drivers, you know, can actually drive. Because I can't tell the difference between the tires and the wings. We are watching basically a glorified slot car race. Remember when you had the little slot car and you put the track together when you were a kid and you put your little car on there and you squeeze the trigger in the car? That's all we're watching right now. That's all this is. They can't really pass. I don't know if these guys are good drivers or not. I can't tell. It's impossible to tell because the car basically drives itself. That's what they've done. They've eliminated the driver in this whole thing. Get rid of those wings off the cars that hold the car down. Yes, you might sit there and say, well, it's safer if it holds the car. Okay, then slow down. Slow down and actually learn how to drive a car. Number one way to make the Indy 500 a little more relevant, a little better, a better product, get rid of all these spec cars that you have out there. Now, you might think this sounds good to have these specialized cars. You might sit here on the surface and say, well, let's get 33 cars. They're all exactly alike, and we'll race them, and it'll all be super even, and it'll all be perfect. But see, there's a few problems with doing this. For one, there's no personality to any of this. There's no ingenuity to any of this. There's no incentive to any of this because everyone has the same spec car that is exactly the same across the board. See, here's the thing, though, and here's where this starts to bother me more. The Indy 500 used to be this battleground of the racing frontier. You had guys that would bring inventions and intelligence to the 500. You had guys try superchargers. You had guys try front-wheel drive, all-wheel drive. There were days of twin engines. There were days of rear and front engines. There were the Novis. There were the turbines. There were even diesel-powered cars. And that right there is where we thrive as Americans. We find a way. We are resourceful. We will use good old-fashioned Yankee ingenuity to go faster than the guy next to us. But not anymore. Not at the Indy 500, because that has been legislated out. Our greatest asset as Americans has been removed from the Indy 500. Get rid of these spec cars. Get rid of these cars that are all generic and exactly the same. And you know what? Not only would it make it a little more interesting to see what the next great thing was going to be, what the next great car was going to be, but it would also bring the automakers back to the 500. Hey, let me ask you a question. And maybe you're not a racing enthusiast. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not a sports enthusiast. Maybe you are. What kind of cars are run in NASCAR events? I don't know. Ford or Chevy. Toyota seems like it's doing pretty well. What kind of cars are run at Indy? Like rocket ships? Space shuttle or something? I don't know. Look like some sort of rocket ship there. Get rid of these cars that are exactly the same and bring back the automakers into the equation. Get them looking at how to improve performance. Make these cars relevant again. You don't care what cars are run at Indy. You do know this, though. It isn't anything that's going to be in your driveway. It's not going to be anything in your garage. Whereas at NASCAR, you might sit there and say, well, yeah, I drive a Ford. Yeah, I have a Ford Fusion. That's what they're racing, you know, this weekend in the NASCAR race. Get rid of these faceless cars without any personality. Get rid of the tires. Get rid of the wings that do all the driving for these guys. Lower the cost for teams so that Indy is no longer monopolized by these big money teams, the Penske's and the Ganassi's, and go get some young talented drivers. And then maybe, the Indy 500 can avoid extinction. Because here's the thing you have to realize. The meteor has already hit the Indy 500. Right now, we are just waiting for the dinosaurs to die off. But it is happening. Hey, next week on the show, we will be talking some NBA. NBA is getting extremely interesting, and we are heading toward the NBA Finals. Major League Baseball, yes, we're still a little ways away, but hey, we broke through today. We had our baseball preview today with John. We're starting to talk a little bit of baseball. And you know what? The Stanley Cup Final is just about set. We'll be talking maybe just a little bit of NHL. Plus, of course, the NFL's in the headlines year-round, and we will always have our Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, if you get a chance, head over to wherever it is that you download the podcast. Give us a quick 5-star rating and a review. That helps us so much. Be sure to head over to rogueintel.com. Check us out over there. We do have a forum page over there. You would be more than welcome to give us a comment, something that you might have heard on the show that you might have liked, you might have disagreed with, you might have had some insight on. We would love to hear from you. Have to say thank you to John from the Inland Empower for making baseball seem at least somewhat watchable and maybe getting us to tune in just a little bit. Hey, would like to tell all of you, have a happy and safe Memorial Day. Have a happy and safe weekend. A special thanks to all those that do serve in the military. We do appreciate all you do. Have to say thank you to GSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.